So, said the heron at their next counselling session, how are you feeling today? Toad not only expected this question, but was in fact eager to answer it.
I'm feeling much better, he said. I'm certainly happier in myself, and I have much more energy.
He told the heron about starting to row again, and how he had been to lunch with his two friends. That's excellent, replied Heron. But Toad, have you thought why these changes have come about?
I'm not sure, he replied after a long pause. It's very hard to understand what's going on inside your own head, but I certainly feel stronger. It's difficult to explain. There are still times when I get those familiar feelings of sadness and worthlessness. They are still inside me somewhere, but they no longer take center stage. I seem to be able to push them to one side, and I don't feel so dominated by them.
I am delighted to hear that, said the heron. You are clearly developing your self-insight and emotional intelligence. But let me ask you this. He looked hard at Toad. What ego state were you just in when you answered me then?
Toad thought.
Well, he said, I certainly was not in my parent ego state, and I know that I wasn't in my child.
He paused.
Recently I've been thinking that there ought to be another ego state, in which you are neither behaving like your parent nor feeling like a child. One in which you are more grown up, more like yourself at the present moment, if that makes sense.
It certainly does, said Heron enthusiastically. There is such a state, and you have discovered this for yourself. Well done.
Have I? Asked Toad in some surprise. What is it called, the grown-up state?
Not quite, said Heron. It's called the adult, and it completes the trinity of the ego states. The three of them are parent, adult, and child. And these three states describe the structure of your personality. We can draw this very simply. He took up the crayon and was about to draw on the flip chart, but Toad interrupted him.
May I? He asked. I know just how to draw it.
And this is what he drew. Parent, adult, child.
Can you tell me more about this adult state? He asked.
The adult ego state, replied Heron, is the rational, unemotional way we have of behaving. It enables us to deal with the reality of what is happening in the here and now.
And what exactly does that mean?
It means, replied Heron, that it is the state in which we can plan, consider, decide, and act. It is the state in which we behave rationally and logically. When we are in this state, we have all our knowledge and skills available for immediate use. We are not driven by the old voices of our parents or swamped by the feelings of our childhood. Instead, we can consider the present situation and decide what we want to do now based on the facts.
So does this mean that this adult state is more important than the others? Asked Toad.
No, not exactly, answered Heron. All of the states are essential for successful living. They have evolved over hundreds of thousands of years, and so each must be important and have a survival value. But what we can say is that this adult state has a special importance.
Toad was listening attentively.
The adult ego state is the only state in which we can learn something new about ourselves. There was a long pause. Then Toad said,
Are you sure about that, Heron? Won't I learn something when I'm in the child state?
No, said Heron, I don't think so. In the child, you will experience the feelings of childhood, both good and bad. You will act out those old situations and feel those old feelings. But nothing new can be learned.
I see, said Toad. But what about when I'm in the parent ego state? Won't I learn something then?
Again, I think the answer is no, but for different reasons, Heron replied. When you are in the parent, you are essentially being either critical or nurturing. Either way, you are repeating in words or behavior the beliefs and values you learn from your parents. You want to demonstrate them and tell them to others. It is a state of certainty, and so there can be no place for new knowledge or ideas. The old ones reign supreme. That is why no one ever changes their mind through an argument. They simply become more entrenched in their views.
Toad paused.
So are you saying that I can only learn something about myself if I am in the adult ego state?
Yes, answered Heron. I believe that is correct. For it is only then that you can consider new facts or evaluate your behavior or, and this is extremely difficult, listen to another person's view of you without immediately dismissing it.
So why have I found it so difficult to learn? Asked Toad. If what you say is true, why didn't you just get me into my adult state and tell me what to do? It would have saved so much time.
I don't know if you are being serious or not, Heron replied, but I will work on the assumption that you are. First, no one can force another person to be in their adult state. You can only encourage them, as I am encouraging you all the time. But I can't force you. Only you yourself can decide to behave in that way. Heron stopped and looked intently at Toad.
And second?
Asked Toad quickly to relieve the pressure he was beginning to feel. Second, said Heron, I don't know what you ought to do. The main aim of this counseling is to enable you to discover for yourself what you ought to do. I can facilitate the process, but only you can decide.
Yes, I recognize that, said Toad slowly. Why is it so difficult?
Heron thought for a while and then said, It is difficult because it requires hard work and conscious thought. When you are in the other two ego states, it scarcely requires thought to act like a parent or a child. We behave unthinkingly because we know what to do and say. It's rather like being in a play.
How do you mean?
Asked Toad, who enjoyed amateur dramatics. It is as if we take on a favourite role which we know perfectly. We know our lines and we know our movements. For instance, take the role of angry man. The angry man knows how to be angry so well. Given the right situation, and isn't it strange how often this occurs for him, he is word perfect. Without a thought, his voice achieves the right tone and level. He automatically selects the appropriate words, and his whole stance demonstrates his angry feelings. In a word, he plays the angry man to perfection, and, this is the point, without even thinking. It is as if his whole life has been a rehearsal for this current performance, and because he has played it so often, it gets better each time. Toad looked quite anxious.
Are you saying that angry people get angry deliberately?
He asked.
They choose that role?
Of course, answered Heron. Or why else would they do it?
Toad paused.
Well, it might be that someone has made them angry, he said.
You've made a very important point, Toad, and it's worth looking at it in greater detail. I don't believe that anyone can make us feel anything unless they use force and coercion. In the last analysis, we choose our own feelings. We choose to be angry or we choose to be sad.
Oh, come on now, interrupted Toad. No one in their right mind is going to choose to feel sad or miserable. That just doesn't make any sense.
I know it sounds unlikely, answered Heron, but look at the alternative. How could anyone reach into your mind and force you to feel anything? Now that really is impossible. They may well influence you or persuade you, but in the end you decide and choose what you will feel. Toad looked perplexed.
Are you saying that people choose their own mental suffering and torment? I really can't believe that.
I agree that it is difficult to accept, said Heron.
Bloody impossible, if you ask me, muttered Toad under his breath.
Apparently, Heron did not hear. Well, perhaps choose is not quite the right word, he answered. We don't choose how we feel in the same way that we choose to have another chocolate. But we make these kinds of choices unconsciously. It's more like a conditioned reflex.
What's a conditioned reflex? Asked Toad.
A conditioned reflex is an automatic response to a certain stimulus. You must have heard of the famous work of Pavlov, when dogs salivated at the sound of a bell which they had learned to associate with being fed. The poor beasts became conditioned to doing this. They could not stop themselves. It became an automatic reflex.
I suppose it's not so different from the doctor hitting your knee when your legs are crossed and your foot jumps automatically. You can't stop yourself.
Exactly, said Heron enthusiastically. That's a perfect example of what I mean. Except that we are talking about emotional behaviour. Because of our past experiences, we learn to respond to certain situations automatically and without thought. You could say that, like those dogs, we can't avoid doing it.
But that's just what I've been saying, intervened Toad. If we can't avoid doing it, it can't be our fault. You can't blame me if I get depressed. That would be extremely unhelpful.
He paused.
And very unfair.
So, Toad, answered Heron after quite a long silence, during which Toad felt extremely uncomfortable. Who do you blame for your recent unhappiness? Who made you feel so bad? Toad stopped and started to think. Something inside warned him that he was going down the wrong track, but he was feeling very animated and could not or would not stop.
In the first place, it was Badger, and then Rat, and Mole too, to some extent. I told you how horrid they all were to me when I returned from... He paused. When I returned from being away. And then you have helped me to see that it was the way my parents treated me when I was growing up that has caused me to be the way I am. I know that they probably weren't aware of what they were doing, but I have to blame them. There's no one else. I do blame them. I have had a rotten life.
And Toad wept bitter tears of anger.
It's not fair, he said. It's just not fair.
And he went on sobbing. Heron sat still. He did not push the box of tissues closer. He just sat. Eventually he spoke, and in a way that commanded Toad's immediate attention. Toad, he said, you have come to the crossroads. You can't go back, so which way will you go?
I'm not sure what you mean, said Toad, drying his eyes. You make it sound as if I have to make some sort of choice. Is that right?
It is, answered Heron. The choice is this. How much longer are you going to blame other people for your own unhappiness?
But you know the alternative, said Toad petulantly. You want me to blame myself, and I won't do it.
That is not the option I'm suggesting at all, said Heron. Blaming is done from the child ego state, which seems to be your favourite position. But what might be an appropriate response in your adult state? Toad tried to get his brain to work, but he was full of conflicting feelings, and subconsciously he knew that he was on the edge of a very significant piece of self-discovery.
I'm not sure I know, he said.
Instead of blaming, how about taking responsibility? There was a long, long silence.
I'm not sure I follow you, said Toad eventually in a quiet voice. You mean I should take responsibility for my own actions?
And for your own feelings, said Heron. That's a very adult thing to do, and no doubt very difficult. But it does have one enormous advantage over blaming others.
What's that? Asked Toad.
It means that you can start to do something about it. If you take responsibility for yourself, you realize that you can take your own authority. Consequently, you realize that you have the power to change your situation, and more importantly, change yourself.
But what about my parents? Toad asked. What can I do about them? How can I get my own back?
Are they alive now?
No, answered Toad. They have been dead for some time.
Then there's only one thing that you can do, Heron replied.
And what's that?
Asked Toad, anxiously. There was a pause. Forgive them, answered Heron. Toad started to speak. He wanted to ask Heron why he should forgive them. They had made his life miserable. Why shouldn't he get his own back and hurt them in the way that they had hurt him? He was beginning to feel angry with both Heron and with his parents. They merged in his mind into one hated object. He felt that he was on the edge of a terrible rage, which, if he released it, could do untold damage. It might even kill someone. He sat there, his heart beating faster, and he felt extremely hot. But as always, those strong feelings of anger began to evaporate, leaving him feeling tired and miserable. Whether Heron was aware of Toad's emotional turbulence is hard to say. After a while, he said gently, "I think we should finish now," and walked with Toad to the front door. As they stood on the doorstep, Toad turned and said,
"Heron, are you really interested in me?"
"What a strange question to ask," answered Heron. "I am extremely interested in you, and I am trying to understand all that has happened to bring you to this very moment in time."
"Yes, I know that," said Toad. "But do you understand all that I have been through? Do you understand my life as a whole?"
"Well, put like that, I don't suppose I do," answered Heron. "I know bits of it, especially about your childhood, but I don't know your story from beginning to end. Do you want to tell it to me?"
"Yes, I do," said Toad. "Very much indeed. I would like to tell you my complete story. I've never told it to anyone before. It's not that it is so amazing. In fact, it's rather commonplace, I suppose. I just want the opportunity to tell someone everything that has ever happened to me. Just once, so that you can understand."
"Very well," said Heron. "Let's do that at our meeting next week. You shall be the storyteller and narrate the true history of Toad to me. How about that?"
"Thank you," said Toad. "Goodbye."
As he walked down the path and through the gate, he was already planning what he would say.